Praise the Lord. Have you had a beautiful week? Amen. I've also had a beautiful week, and I thank God for what the Lord has done. He is the one who sustains us, and He keeps us safe every single day that we have in the presence of the Lord. We ought to rejoice, for He is the one who provides for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to bring a message in what I call the audacity of God's mercy. The audacity of God's mercy. In other words, the greatest risk that the Lord takes in all of us, it is the willingness to take a risk. You know, audacity is just the willingness to take a risk. And the Lord has taken upon Himself to be merciful throughout generations. Praise the Lord. And sometimes I know you've heard of sometimes, you know, particularly as the men of God, we brag about the great things that we have done for God. Amen. I think it should be the other way around. We need to brag about what God has done for us. Amen. But without Him, we can do nothing. You know, our existence, the things that we have here on this planet, is just by His grace. Praise the Lord. Solomon was a man who was wealthy, and he is a man who honored God. And I remember one time he honored God so much by offering Him such a great sacrifice, until that sacrifice actually reached God. And God came down and asked him, what can I do for you? And he said, just give me wisdom. And the Lord gave him a lot of wisdom, so that there was no man that had wisdom as Solomon, neither in his time nor in the days that we, in his future, including the days that we live here today. So apart from that, God also added him wealth and greatness. And you read about the story of Solomon. He had orchards, he had plantations, he had gardens of flowers, he had concubines, name it. He had gone to school and done a lot of research concerning various areas of life. And he had come to a place in his life where he thought that, he had attained it all. But, you know, at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon concludes the whole issue and the whole matter and says that all is just vanity of vanity. Amen? It's just a facade. Everything that we've been able to witness, everything that he was able to have, he said, all is a chasing after the wind. Praise the Lord. And he said that the whole duty of man is to worship Him. The whole reason why the Lord brought you and me on this earth primarily is to worship God. Primarily is to give Him glory. Primarily is to honor Him at any given moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. The things that we may acquire on this planet are just temporary. I was listening to a preacher, Robert Jeffries, I think, you know, from the First Baptist Church when I was coming to church today. And he was talking about these things, and he was saying that there are many people who acquire money and wealth and cars and homes. You know, like, for example, you talk about and I'm not trying to be political here, the presidential nominee of the Republicans Party. He has wealth upon wealth upon wealth. He has hotels named after his name, you know. And we have many people in the world today who have wealth upon wealth upon wealth. But all those things is just a facade, because one day all those things will come to an end. Amen. The Bible says that everything will be burned up, including the place where we are standing today, including the earth that we live in. And you know what? Can I surprise you? Surprise, surprise. That if Jesus tarries, each one of us will be put in a box, you know, and lowered 6 feet down under the earth. And everything that we ever acquired will have no meaning. Praise the Lord. But what will remain is how we, the relationship that we had with God. The legacy that we would leave on this planet is how we affected the life of one another. Praise the Lord. You know, I read the last words of Steve Jobs in a some of you know that Steve Jobs was the CEO of Apple Apple is very innovative. You know, that's why we have the iPhones, the iThings that we all enjoy. And this guy, God had gifted him. And by the way, he was from Syria. God had really gifted Steve Jobs, you know, with great innovation. And upon his dying bed, you know, all that he could remember was his family. The Bible says that he looked at his children with a gaze that could not be unlocked. He looked at his spouse with a gaze that could not be unlocked from them. And he looked at the simplicity of life. And he looked beyond them. And all he could say was, wow, oh wow, oh wow. Kind of like to say, oh, with all this accomplishment, with all the things that I've been able to attain, with all the wealth that I've been able to acquire, it is all coming down to this, that I'm just about to give up my ghost and I'm just about to die. Amen? Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us that every single minute of our lives will not hold to the things of this world. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we'll be able to be appreciative of life. We'll be able to appreciative of what God has done in our lives. Remember that the Bible says that we were once sinners, and we came, the Lord revealed himself to us. And even the Bible says actually in Romans 5:3 that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Even before we ever knew that we were sinners, even before we ever comprehended that we would come to repentance, Christ was sent by his Father to come and die for us. That while we were yet sinners, he already died for us. Praise the Lord. Oh man. And when you think about his mercy, when you think about what he has done, oh God, we ought to just every single moment, as you drive, as you work, as you cohabit with your workmates, as you work and as whatever you do, every single moment ought to be a moment to appreciate the Lord. Thank you for this life. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, Lord. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 145, verse number 8, that the Lord is gracious and is full of loving kindness. Praise the Lord. He is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Amen? And he has shed abroad his grace upon us. And it is all distributed within our lives. Praise the Lord. And we can just tell of his mercy every single day. Praise the Lord. In the book of Hosea, chapter number 1, and I won't keep you long. I just want us to just examine and just enjoy and bask in the mercy that the Lord has upon his people. This in the scripture in the Old Testament, even though we don't live in the Old Testament, but the scriptures in the Old Testament are there for us to see the parallel in the goodness of God and how we are supposed to live. In the book of Hosea, God asked the prophet, Hosea was a prophet, and he asked him a very difficult thing. When you read the book of Hosea, you even wonder why would God, in his stature as a holy God, just, you know, express or say certain things to certain people. Because what he told Hosea, I don't think any one of you would want you to be in his position when God, you know, to do with the things that God had told him to do. So when he speaks to Hosea in the first chapter, he tells him, I want you to go and marry a harlot. And you all know who a harlot is, or a prostitute. You know, they would say, go ahead and marry a prostitute. And he told him that I would like you to bear children with this prostitute. But there was a reason why God asked Hosea to do this. Now, you know, in the olden times, you know, the nation of Israel was divided into two. There was the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and there was the southern kingdom, which was Judah. Now, the Bible tells us that for some time, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, did things that were displeasing to the Lord. In other words, when God took them into the promised land, God had pre-warned them and asked them not to worship the idols of the nations which they were going to conquer. But with the time, the children of Israel started to assimilate in the ways of the nations in which they were they found, and they started worshiping other gods, and they started intermarrying with the people of the women of these nations that they had found, against what God had instructed in the first place. And so everything that they did, in spite of God being with them through the process of moving them from Egypt to the promised land, it's like they forget. And how this applies to us today: God visits us many, many times, and He does extraordinary things in our lives, but no sooner does the Lord do those things in our lives than we forget what He did, and we go on sometimes doing our own ways. And this is what exactly happened to the children of Israel, that in spite of Him being strong and leading them out of the nation of Egypt to the promised land, they forgot all the Lord had done for them, and this displeased God. And so the scene that we are reading right now in the book of Hosea, and he is admonishing or instructing Hosea to do this thing to depict how he felt about the relationship that existed between him and the children of Israel. And he tells them, go ahead and marry a prostitute. I would like you to have children with them. And this was very difficult for a prophet who knew God. It would be difficult for any one of us who has had a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God, you know, leading a holy life and leading a life of expecting from God each and every moment, worshiping God and praising Him and reading His Word. It would be a difficult thing and a difficult position for Hosea. But God wanted to communicate this idea to Hosea, to express to him how he felt about the relationship that now existed between him and the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. And we are going to read the first verses from chapter number 2 to 10. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter number 1, verses number 2, that when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take for yourself a wife in the whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." In other words, when we forsake God, when the nation of Israel forsook God, according to God, that was like prostitution. Praise the Lord. He related how he wanted Hosea to relate with the relationship that he would have with the wife that God was instructing him to have, was the same feeling that he was having just because the children of Israel had deserted him. So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I'll punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I'll put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel, nor forgive them. But I will have pity on the house of Judah." See, I was telling you about the house of Judah, which was the southern kingdom. "And I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Amni, for you are not my people, and I'm not your God." Now, the life of Hosea with his wife is depicting how God is feeling, and he is expressing through the bearing of these children and naming what each and every child signifies and how the Lord feels at that particular moment towards the children of Israel. But I wouldn't want us to really, really focus on what God did at that particular moment. I would like to focus on what I'm just about to say. The Bible says, "Yet the number of people of Israel shall be the sand of the sea." Hallelujah. That in spite of all these things that the children of Israel had done, the Lord still maintains the promise to the children of Israel. Then he says, "Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can neither be measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them that you are the children of God." Amen? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what we ever did. But Jesus so loved us, even before we were, even while we were yet sinners, Christ was sent to die on our behalf. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is what, Jesus is to us what Hosea was to the children of Israel at the time. Because we had deserted God, you know, when Adam was created and he disobeyed God, you know, the Bible says that sin came into earth through Adam. And so every child and every generation that has come after Adam has been considered as sinners. And all the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. It is by His mercy, it is by His grace that today we have been reconciled to the Father. And what? And as I told you, Jesus is to us the way Hosea was to the children of Israel. When God looked at us before Jesus came, He tried every means to reconcile us back to the Lord. He tried all He could, even bringing prophets so that we will be reconciled back to God. Because the Bible says that we've been created in the image and in the likeness of God. Praise the Lord. And so the prophets were killed. The message was never communicated. It's like even if there was God introduced the rule of law in those days whereby a priest would get into the Holy of Holies. Only he himself would get into the Holy of Holies, and they would tie chains over him just in case he would sin and he would never make it, and they would pull him. And as he entered into the Holy of Holies, he would enter there with blood, and it sprinkled blood everywhere to represent the sin of humanity. Praise the Lord. And ultimately, Jesus comes into the scene, and he comes as an ultimate sacrifice, and ultimately goes to Golgotha, where he is beaten and where he is crucified for the sake of humanity. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that everyone who receives him, that even though he came to his own did not even recognize him. Praise the Lord. He came to his own. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 1, that he came to his own, and his own never recognized him. But to all those who received him, to them he gave them power to become the children of God. Hallelujah. This afternoon I want to let you know that if you have received him, you have been given power to become a child of God. You have been reconciled back unto God. Hallelujah. There's no greater message than this, to know that our sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord by His rich mercy. Praise be to God. And we ought to rejoice each and every moment. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. The Lord is not a respecter of whether you have money or whether you're not. All that He wants is to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And He says, as long as you have received me, I will give you power to become my child. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And this expresses to us about how God is so merciful, that He expresses His feeling towards Hosea. And ultimately, He says that even yet after they have done all this thing, rejecting me, all the Lord wanted from the children of Israel was to make a 180 degrees. Praise the Lord. That He would, regardless what they had done, that He would overlook their prostitution if they would come to reckon with the fact that, oh, you know what, we have deserted God. We have been worshipping, we have been idolaters. We have even done everything against God. All the Lord required in order to forget everything that they had done is to make a 180 and begin going the other direction. Praise the Lord. And His promise would endure forever and ever. Hallelujah. Today we live in a society whereby we do things, and it's very easy to carry over and over every single day having self-condemnation in our lives because of things that we did long time ago, and those things we've been dragging them all with us. Hear this, child of God. If you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Amen. It doesn't matter what you ever did, but your sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. This is the message of the cross. This is the message to the nations, that if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. The Bible says now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We shall brag of His goodness. We shall brag of His faithfulness. We shall brag about His grace. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is to us what it was for Hosea to the children of Israel. When God looked at us, unregenerated. We didn't have any hope. And he sends Jesus Christ to come and feel how he felt for on our behalf. Jesus went through everything, the process of a cross, including being tortured, including being blasphemed, including being whooped on his back, including his skin being torn in by the whoopings that he received, including the crown of thorns over his head. It represented everything. Think about this. It represented everything that you as a child of God, you as a human being, ought to have gone through. But you didn't have to taste any one of that. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, tasted all that for us. Amen. And he did this while we were yet sinners. While we didn't even recognize. Think about this. That a child that is going to be born 20, 100 years from now, if they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will be forgiven. He died for them while they were still sinners. Praise the Lord. We ought to thank God for what he has done. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. If you read in the book of the second chapter of the book of Hosea, it explains that even after this wife, this prostitute, this harlot, who was the wife of Hosea, came, you know, they married, that she still had connections with her lovers. And many times she would go out to those lovers and leave Hosea. Amen? She would go out to seek for them. And there was this kind of mentality that she thought that everything she ever had was as a result of her former lovers. And she failed to recognize that when Hosea came into her life, that Hosea provided everything for her. But Hosea never gave up. And this was instinctively put in Hosea. That the Bible says in the book of the second chapter of Hosea, that Hosea continued to pursue her. Amen. And while she was quite aware of what she had done, she disregarded all that, and he still wanted to bring her in. And that is exactly what the Lord did, that in spite of the things that we ever committed, in spite of us being sinners, the Lord overlooked everything that we ever did, and he pursued us even in our quagmire, through the quagmire of sin, pulled us out, he washed us by his precious blood, and he accepted us as his own children. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You read about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis 18, 20 to 32. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we don't even need to talk about it because most of you know exactly what happened. There were several nations in the plains, but the Bible categorically points out about Sodom and Gomorrah because it looks like this was the hub of where sin was actually being practiced. You remember the story of how what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it was really distasteful before the Lord. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, 20 to 32, I'll read just the first few verses. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Abraham, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave is their sin. I must go down and see whether have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. If not, I will know." And at this point, I realized that whenever a nation sins against God, there is an outcry in his presence concerning that nation. In fact, I was wondering about what is happening in America, how things are happening, you know, like, for example, the sin of homosexuality and debauchery and all the things that have gone on in this country, things that we never envisioned happening in this country that are happening today. And I realized that there's an outcry right now in the presence of Jehovah God, you know, towards America. But and that's exactly what the Bible says, that there was an outcry, and this is what caused the Lord to come and go and see. He didn't just want to send an angel to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but he says, "I want to go and witness what all this outcry is about." Praise the Lord. And Abraham, he is having a conversation with our father Abraham, and Abraham thinks about the next thing that is going to happen. Either there's going to be a nuclear war, or God is going to drop maybe a nuclear bomb in Sodom and Gomorrah, which eventually happened. And Abraham, see the message of the Lord, his outreach. He communicates this with Abraham. Praise the Lord. And he causes Abraham to negotiate the plight of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. It is like it was a setup that he wanted to inform Abraham. And Abraham was a friend of God. And Abraham was so compassionate. And he started negotiating with God. And as God was heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, it's like Abraham told me, hey, Lord, please, give me just a few minutes. Suppose there are 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you stay your execution on this city? Can you save it? And the Lord looked at Abraham and said, if there are 50 people, if I go there and find 50 people that are righteous, I will not destroy the city. And you know how the story goes? And Abraham continues to petition with the Lord, and he says, oh Lord, please have mercy upon me. I'm made of just dust. Please don't think that I'm just, you know, pushing you too hard. Suppose there are 45 people, would you rescue the city? And the Lord said, if there are 45 righteous people in that city, praise the Lord, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes down and down and down. I think he went up to 10. And he said, God, suppose there are 10 righteous people in the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you going to destroy the city? And the Lord said, if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm not going to destroy the city. That means if you would have continued even one, if there was even one person, church, that was righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord would have stayed the execution of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? And that tells me that America today or any other wicked nation on earth is being preserved by the righteous. Hallelujah. You see, there are so many disastrous things that would come upon the nations of the earth. But because of the righteous people, if you are righteous, you've been made. Let me tell you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you've been made the righteousness of Christ, of God. Amen? You are the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God if you have accepted Jesus Christ. And so you play a very major role in this nation. Hallelujah. If I'm sure maybe the outcry concerning this country would have come before the Lord, and maybe there are people, maybe spiritually or elsewhere, who are asking God, God, suppose there are 1,000 people in America, would you destroy America? No, I can't destroy America because there's some righteous people in there. That means, therefore, that the nations of Sodom and Gomorrah, and remember how everybody was pulled out, everybody that was connected to Abraham, including the cousin to Abraham. And just think about this. My goodness, that the entire city didn't have anyone who was righteous. Everybody did their own things, and they did things against the Lord. And you know what happened? Fire came from heaven and destroyed the city. What am I saying about this? That the Lord is merciful. Praise the Lord. The Lord is just. The Lord is mercy, that when you are in a place that you can control or you can dictate what God is going to do in your environment. As a righteous person, as a born again believer, you can say that we shall not in the next 20 miles around me, there's not going to be any accident. You can dictate that because God has when he looks at you, you have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you command respect. You command. The earth may not recognize who you are. If the earth really realized who the believers are, let me tell you, they would never put any barriers to obstruct them from worshiping their God. Hallelujah. I read an article. I don't know whether this was true or not. I think from WhatsApp, and some of you may have read this from Russia, saying that Putin has come up with rules whereby if you are found worshiping or witness to anybody, you'll be jailed for many years in Russia. And I said, and I looked at this and I said, wow, this is the man who doesn't even understand how God operates. Because if he knew, and we all need to pray for Russia, by the way, because if you cannot practice, if you cannot witness, or you cannot even have a home fellowship in Russia, if they knew you, in fact, if you're a guest or if you're a visitor visiting Russia and you're witnessing for somebody, that article was saying that you can be deported to your own country that very day. It is that serious. And I see a man who doesn't really know the truth has completely been hidden from him. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, if things are going to happen on this earth today, it is upon the responsibility of this earth. It's not upon the politicians of our day. Huh? It is not upon the great researchers and the great man of wisdom. But I believe with all my heart that the weight and the burdens, that the burden of this earth is delegated upon the children of God. Amen? And when we pray, we are able to cause things to happen. Amen? We can determine how our future is going to be. We can determine how our future of a country is going to be. We can determine how a future of a city is going to be when we know who we are. Praise the Lord. Because when we call upon the name of the Lord, things will happen. You may not see it at this very hour. You may not even witness it with your own eyes. But when you pray, prayer goes out to destroy strongholds in the high places. When you pray for your children, when you pray for your city, when you pray for your relatives, things are happening. I wish you know this. I wish the Lord would open up our eyes that we may see like he opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha. Amen. The fact that you may not see things happening around you, but God is fighting for you behind the scenes. I remember words that were spoken to us by Pastor Murefu. Every time we would have Bible study, he would remind us, I wish people can see what happens in the spiritual realm. And I wish God can just give us glimpses. In portions of glimpses during the day of things that are happening around the spiritual realm on our behalf. The demons are fighting constantly, wanting to come and wanting to kill you and to exterminate you and to remove you from this planet. But again, the angels of God are fighting for you. The grace of God is fighting for you. The blood of Jesus Christ that is around me. Oh my God, the devil cannot penetrate it. There is a wall so thick of the blood of Jesus. When the demons of hell looks at it, they shudder and they fall down because we are protected. But if the devil would be asked today, hallelujah, he'd want you to be exterminated every single day. Listen to what the Bible says. I'll read this. I love this. What the Bible says in the book of Lamentations 3:22. I'm jumping, going ahead of me. This is what the Bible says. Lamentation 3, verse number 22-23. I read this and I said, yes, I love this. Lamentation 3:22-23. It says this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not. Oh, Jesus. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thine faithfulness. It is by the Lord's, what? Mercies. So in other words, if the mercies of the Lord would be lifted up from the earth today, no one would be here. Amen? All he would need to do, all you need to do is just drop the sun just a little bit, just towards the earth. And this earth will be a boiling pot. But the Lord's mercy sustains the distance of the sun and the moon and everything. And every when you wake up, it might be hard, but God has provided wisdom. You can come into a room like this and there is air conditioning. And it is by his mercies. The air conditioning is by his mercies. Amen? Hallelujah. When you get into the car, it is by his mercies that you're enjoying the air con in your car. Praise the Lord. God has given people wisdom and he has put the right distance between planets so that we can enjoy life on this earth that he created. It is by his mercies, praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. And so, we look at all these situations and we find God's mercies being expressed to humanity. That we are the ones who sustain the existence of this earth by the Lord providing his mercies upon us. Now look at David. He's the man of God. Now, if David, and I say this many times, if David was a member of a church today, David the king of Israel, remember David? If David was a member of a church, of a modern church, probably he would have been excommunicated. You know? People would now have nothing to do with him. Because you know what David did, right? I mean, he schemed like, actually you scheme and you say, how can a man do such things? That even it drives a shiver down your spine when you think of what he did. You know, he marries this woman called Bathsheba by the fact that, you know what happened, he saw her just having a shower. And I don't even know why she was not taking a shower in a bathroom. And I know she was taking a shower in a roof or something. You know, I don't know how they used to live in that culture. I mean, how can you just... I was just thinking about this many times. I've read this scripture and I was saying, this guy had a 20-20 vision, because I don't think he was really near. It must have been quite a distance. But David said that he saw her taking a shower and he said, oh my goodness. And the next thing she says, come here. And she realizes that this was a married woman. And he realizes that... her husband was a military man in his army, and he sends him in the forefront purposely so that he'd kill him and so that he'd get his wife. I mean, can you imagine of a plot like that? Surely, yeah. If you'd be in the United States, maybe you'd be on the headline, and he would be taken maybe through Congress and questioning and all these things, and maybe he would be jailed or something. But in spite of all these things. Things that David did. David learned to humble himself before the Lord. Amen. And he says, the Lord is full of grace. The Lord is full of love. The Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. I know what I did was not good. But eventually, this man that is referred as David, God refers him as a man after my own heart. There was nothing that the Lord would have connected with what David did other than his mercy. Amen. And how many of us, maybe we've done even worse things, you know, in other categories, you know? And you'd even not want anybody even to know what you did. But you know in your know what you did, and God also knows. But you know you've been forgiven. Amen? If God would deal with you according to what you did, oh my goodness. If God ever dealt with us the way we did, can you imagine all the things that we did even when we were not born again, from the time you were born? Including maybe ulichapa mtoto wa mtoto, mtoto wa mtoto wa neighbor. Huh? Maybe you killed somebody. But you're still here, you're laughing. But you killed somebody. But we don't know. If God would deal with us according to the things that we ever did. Oh my God. Pastor John. If God dealt with us according to the things that we even ever say to people. Huh? The way sometimes we dealt with people, unajua yani ujama. Back in the day, we used to have unasikia mtu anasema nitafunga na wewe. Jamaa amekuwekea wanted. You remember those days? Back in the day when we were in school, back in the day in Kenya, if you did something wrong, a kid will never touch you, because if he touched you while the school is in session, he's going to be taken to the headmaster's office and he might be expelled. So during the day when the schools are closing, you'd really need to watch out. If you had done something wrong to somebody, because you are saying, "Wewe nitafunga na wewe." Many other kids who are utasikia kimawe, pa! Jamaa amekimbia. But the Lord doesn't deal with us like that. All He wants is to know, to acknowledge that we are sinners, and all He wants us is to turn to do an 180. Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you this. It really grieves my heart. And yesterday, last night, I was thinking about this. It really grieves my heart. You know, somebody. We've been in the church here together for some time. And you know, for one reason or another, maybe they decide, okay, empowerment is not for me, and they decide to go to another church, which is perfectly okay, especially if they would come and tell the pastor, yo, you know, pastor, I'm just tired of coming here. I just feel like I want to serve somebody else. And they go to another church. Maybe I would pray for them, and they would go and serve, you know, another minister. But it really makes me feel bad that I can call that person, and they won't even pick up my phone. It's like they don't want to relate with me. It's like, what did I do? And we brothers? And we sisters in the Lord? Amen? Hallelujah, church! We ought to maintain that bond of love with each other. We are not friends because we come to the same church. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! And God ought to help us so that we can forgive one another. Amen? Think about this, man. that we have chuki with one another and we cannot even talk to one another. How long are we going to be on this planet without chuki? And eventually everybody is going to go into a box, Jesus starting, every single one of us. You know, the only difference is some boxes will be more beautiful than others, right? And the design, maybe it will have maybe, you know, like a cross at the end of it. But it doesn't matter, you're still in a. Even if they take a 2x4 and hit everything together so that you can be lined up and stationed in there and they seal it, you're still in a. Brothers, we need to take cue and heed from the Lord's word that we ought to love one another. See, I told you the other day, I went to this conference and really, there was a teaching that was going on there that really blew my mind. That God has given us power to love, not because we have the capability to love. In the olden days, in the Old Testament, God would tell people, do this, and he would expect them to do them by their own ability. That's why he brought up the law. And people broke the law because they didn't have the ability to follow the law. Amen? But look at this way. In this dispensation, God has loved us. He loved us before we even knew that we were loved. He was sent by his own father, by his father, and to die. It is because of love that he came to the cross. Amen? It is because of love that he went through what he went through. And he said, I loved you before you loved me. Praise the Lord. So the power that we have received of love enables us to love some other people. Amen? Jesus forgave us that we may be able to forgive other people. Praise the Lord. In the olden times, it would be difficult to forgive somebody who wronged you because you didn't have the ability to forgive. But now Jesus went to the cross and forgave us first. And he told us, just because I have forgiven you, now you have the ability to forgive somebody else. Amen? It is called the dispensation of grace. We are not living in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Anyone who is born of God has access to God. And the Bible says that when he died on the cross, the curtain of the temple, the curtain, the Holy of Holies was exposed to anybody who has accepted Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. In those olden days, no one would get to the holy place. See, there were sections in the temple. There was a place where they would have the bread and they would do a few things on the tabernacle, and there was the holy place and there was the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, only one person would get there, and not every day. What? Can you think about this, man? Think about this, that in the Old Testament, only one guy, the priest, would get in there once a year. Wow. But when Jesus died, that curtain was completely torn, that you can get in there and go out and get in there any time of the day, whatever times, however many times you want. Don't you think that is what is, that is the dispensation of grace? That you have access. What was really restricted in the Old Testament, you can get in there and just do exactly what the priest did in those days. And listen, you don't even have to do it even once a month. You don't even have to do it. You can do it all that you can. Actually, you can dwell there. You can say, I'm not moving from here. You know, I'm just going to dwell here. This is going to be my home. You can dwell in the Holy of Holies. Actually, we are in the Holy of Holies right now. Amen. And we can petition God and tell him, God, Lord Almighty, I worship you. Father, you've done great things for me. It is not by my strength, it is not by my power, but I worship you because of who you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us so that we may carry short accounts with one another, and that we may learn to forgive one another, that we may love to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we all together? Praise the Lord. Finally, I want to read from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and I'll be out of your way. The Bible says, I'll read just a few verses there. Colossians, if you want, you can write it down, you can go read it home. So what manner of people we ought to be when we have known and come to acknowledge his salvation through his mercy and grace and given us salvation? What manner of people we ought to be? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Amen? Continue to live your life in what? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Okay. Now, the next verse says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Oh, I love the next one. This one says, for in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to the fullness in Him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you are circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by the putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision. In other words, the Bible says that now that we have known what His mercy has done to us, amen, we ought to abound in His love. And the only way we can abound by in His love is by being rooted and being built up in Him and be established in our faith. Amen? Being established in our faith. How are we going to get established in our faith? It is by congregating together, hearing the word of the Lord, having Bible studies together, coming and having meetings, reading the word, prayer. You know, we consciously and intentionally our own responsibility that I'm going to be deep rooted and understand the magnitude of His mercy, understand the magnitude of His grace. Praise the Lord. Getting deep rooted. Praise the Lord. And He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. The reason why I'm saying this is that there's this tendency across the face of the earth for people coming out and setting standards of who is the authentic Christian. And they do this through manipulation. You know, there are people who say, oh, I remember one time, you know, we got caught up, you know, back in the day, back in Nakuru, and I think I've told you this story of this lady who just came and started saying, oh, we need to have a prayer meeting. She was actually a prophetess, you know, and she said, let's gather together. And she got, I don't even know how some of us were hoodwinked like that. And she got some of the prominent, prominent, you know, in a chicken tongue, because these brothers knew the word. They were the most prayerful people that are new in our church, and they would come together and they would lead Bible studies. Probably Brother Pastor Ndumia knows people like Manyonge. You know, we were together with this group, and we would come together. And we just wanted to honor this woman because she called herself a prophet. And we would come together and we would start praying. And I would, every time we would pray, I would wonder, there's something funny about this prayer we are praying. But anyway, I continued. It's like we were blinded. And this lady would just say, oh, I can see a spirit of a monkey just landed in next to a tree in my house, and we need to bind it. And so we would bind this spirit of a monkey. You know, and they would say, okay, I see another spirit of the vice president, you know, just hanging around my house. I see rats, you know, going around. You know, I said, let me tell you, it is very easily, because, you know, people want to pursue righteousness and God. You know, you can be easily caught up. You can be easily caught up. Just because somebody can come and depict all their blackadabla, you know, like Kanyari type of thing. People, Kanyari, can you be surprised? Kanyari, by the way, is a crooked, I would say, crooked minister in our country. And you'd be surprised that he has a large following. Why do you think he has a large following? People are after to know God. But if we can just obey the book of Colossians, it says that do not be taken captive. The only way we are not going to be taken captive is by getting rooted in the faith. It's by congregating together with like-minded people, studying the word of God. So the word, the Bible says, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? The truth shall set us free. And so we continued every time. We'd meet at 7, and we would come and pray. This lady, first of all, I noted probably 15 days later that we never read the Bible. And we are just binding and, you know, spirits, and spirits of rats, spirits of Jewy monkeys. At one time, I told my wife, something funny I feel here. Huh? But this lady was well respected in the church. We were still young believers. And then at one point, I don't know what happened. I think my best couple. We had a prayer meeting, and she said, I can sense that God is sending us to my best couple's home to go and destroy some spirits that are hidden underneath their house. Hey, let me tell you. So we actually rent a car. I think we rent a car, and we are going to their house. And we have started praying, and now this brother is just looking at us like this, like, what? That there are rats under my house? Some spirits that have come here, snakes and things like scorpions, and we are rebuking and binding them. Now this man, he said, I think pastor has really gotten into a cult, and I need to report him to the bishop. So he went and tells the bishop. So the bishop calls me in his house, and he says, in his office, and says, pastor, what is this team I hear that you are leading? Now it has turned around. I'm the one, I'm leading this team. What is this team, Bishop? Come out and say, what is this team that I understand you are leading, binding snakes under people's homes? I said, I gave him now the story, and I told him, I'm not leading this team, and blah, blah. You were called by this prophetess, Bishop knows her, because she was coming to the church, and actually even Brother Manyonge was there. He said, even Brother Manyonge was there, because Brother Manyonge was actually a professor in a university, a born-again Christian. So that, you know, I gain comfort if Manyonge is here and we are binding these things. And I'm, you know, he's a professor in the university, so I think I'm safe. So anyway, the bishop calls us, and we are prayed and disconnected from this group. And it is like at that very moment when bishop called me in his office, I am telling you the truth, it's like my eyes popped up. It's like a bulb. You know the way people say, like a bulb lit up, and I saw, what have I been engaged in? And I said, oh God, this is a cult. So it's very easy. If I've learned to, and that's why nowadays, I'm very skeptical. When somebody calls me and I see some things, from that day, excuse me. You know, if I go and I see people doing some things that I don't believe they're right, and it says they're biblical, I try to make three steps behind slowly. You know, I don't want anything, because I'm really scared. It is very important for us to be, you know what? This is the standard. This is the standard. If somebody says anything that is not in this word, and they're bringing their own things, you need to step up as quickly as possible. Do you listen to me, church? And there are things, and I know, especially, we are very, very, we are persuaded. We want to know the truth. And you might be thinking, oh, this is the person who prayed for that lady and she was delivered. Before I even go there, this is what I'll say. The Bible says, in fact, if anyone, in fact, I saw that. Let me read this. This one is final. Can we go to Romans 5:8? I don't know whether that is elsewhere. No. I think that's something else. Okay. That is a different scripture. But this is what I want to tell you. The Bible says that if anyone has as little as a mustard seed, faith, right? If anyone believes and you don't have a doubt in you, in fact, the Bible says whosoever includes anyone, amen? That includes you, includes who? Includes everyone here. If you don't have any doubt, and you tell this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, it will happen. It will happen. Say again with me, it will happen. Say it again, it will happen. Say that I have what it takes. I have what it takes. Yes, you have what it takes to perform a miracle. You can pray for your sick child and the child can be sick. Can be healed. You can pray over your spouse and they can be healed. You can pray for a job situation and somebody can receive a miracle. Amen? You have what it takes. I have what it takes. Amen? Because Christ deposited the miracle working power in me. You don't even have to call me to pray over your child. All you need to do is lay your hands upon the sick child. And if you don't believe, if you don't doubt in your heart, that miracle is going to happen. So away with people who say, oh, unless my child is prayed for this and this person, or is done, is performed by this and this other person, I don't know. I can't even take it to Pastor Tony because I don't know whether he has faith. He has to take it to Ben Hinn or Bonke, you know, if they are not praying by Bonke, that's not prayer. You don't even have to go to Bonke. No, least of all, me. You can do it in the seclusion of your house and decide, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I'm born again and I believe I have what it takes for this miracle to happen. I declare it in the name of Jesus. And I believe it is done. And let me tell you, if you believe it, just like that, it is done. Amen? Because there's power in us. Praise the Lord. By the way, I'm not saying that you don't go to any minister or you don't go there. But I would hate for you to say, oh, unless that one says this or unless they pray for somebody, it cannot happen. You know, it is only that person who can do it. No. You can do it yourself too. Praise the Lord. We were talking about mercy, and the Lord is merciful to us. Shall we stand up on our feet? Amen. Hallelujah. Raise up your right hand as we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless you. Lord, you're telling us in your word of your mercy. We shall dwell in your mercy all the days of our lives. And we thank you, Father, it's through mercy, through grace, that today we can stand here as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Lord, you have told us, my God, that without mercy we would all be consumed. Your mercies are fresh and new each and every rising day of our lives. Your mercies have been extended to our children. Your mercies have been extended to our spouses. Your mercies have been extended to our friends and our relatives. Your mercies have been extended to all that we do, O God. And we appreciate you, Father, for without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I thank you because as we live and exist on this earth, we exist by your power. And I thank you because of what you've reminded us here this afternoon, that we, the righteous people, preserve the nations. We preserve the situations and the atmosphere around us. There are people who have been saved many, many times from doom and catastrophe just because of your presence. Lord, I thank you because you've put in us something so special that money cannot buy. And I thank you, Father, because even as we continue to move and do things here on this planet, Father, we shall give. Just as those two disciples met somebody sick in the temple and they said, silver and gold have we none, but as such as we have, do we give to you. We have something that we can offer the world. Not money, not even integrity, not even charisma, but we can give them what Jesus has done in our lives. Hallelujah. And I pray that we shall be vulnerable. That when those, we shall seize the opportunities. When they come by, Lord, we shall realize that, Lord, I need to upload this which the Lord has put in my heart into this person's life. You never know whose destiny you might change. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give Jesus a hand of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Sammy. Amen. Oh, before Sammy comes.